Well, I love being in the presence of God. Isn't God good? Man, praise the Lord. Why don't we just give him a round of applause for who God is. We love you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. You know, I love to act and to pretend on so many different levels. When you have children that are 9, 7, 5, and 3, like I do, we spend a lot of our time pretending and playing different things. And one of my favorite things to do with our daughters especially is to act like something is heavier than it actually is. You know, if they say, oh, can you hand me that? I love to act like something is really heavy. You know how that goes, like, wait, I'll get this for you, okay? Okay, just, if I can just pull, I think that I can get it off of this stool. If I pull really hard, it's almost off. Okay, that's no problem. I can do this. Wait a second. Oh, okay, I got it. Okay, now if somebody could act, they could act like a Kleenex box is heavier than it actually is, right? You know the secret, from what I'm told, about acting like something is heavy is that this remains very still the entire time. And what is around it is kind of in chaos. It's moving a lot. You know, you're acting like it can't move. And for somebody that could portray this to you accurately, you might be impressed with it, right? What a picture of inner peace for us. When everything around us is swirling in chaos, but no matter what presses against it, what pulls against it, our heart would remain peaceful, would remain still, would remain calm. You know, I bet if we were to poll the room and just get a show of hands of the top three things that we felt like were needs, necessities in our life, peace would be on every single person's list. I want peace deep down inside when I can't find it anywhere else. So I want to ask you some questions this morning and begin to dig deep into where does this peace come from in each one of us through God's word. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 51 this morning. Let's start reading in verse 1. The Lord says, "Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord." Now, I know that that's you in this room, because I know that you've come here this morning because you believe that God has greater things in store for you than you have in store for yourself, because you want to pursue God's righteousness. So you who seek the Lord, listen to me. Look to the rock from which you were hewn. I've been messing up on that word all morning. Into the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you, for he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. Here's my question for you this morning. Where have you come from? Where have you come from? I love what the Lord says when he begins this, because he says, look to that rock from which you were dug, from that quarry that you came from. You know, it's interesting that he goes to Abraham and he says, y'all came from Abraham. He's talking to the Jews here. You know where Abraham came from? Do you know what he was? This is a great Bible trivia question. Abraham, this is not blasphemy, I promise. Abraham was a pagan. What made him a Jew? He wasn't any different than anybody else that lived in Ur. The only thing that made him a Jew was God's voice that called him out from the people that he lived. You know that nation, that place, that city of Ur where he left, became the hotbed after he left for everything evil for the rest of the world. Now think about this. So God calls Abram out of Ur. He says, I want you to go to a land I'm going to show you. Abraham, he packs up, and his name started off as Abram, and then it was changed to Abraham. That's why I change him from time to time. He packs up all that he has. He doesn't even know where he's going. He just knows that God has called him, and he walks, and he follows the Lord. God chose a pagan in Ur of the Chaldeans. Now get this. God tells Abram, you're going to be the father of a mighty nation. Lord, I only have one wife. That didn't happen in that day. You didn't just have one wife, you had multiple wives. And God, here's another problem. My wife is barren. She can't have children. And that's who God chose to start a mighty nation. So the Lord asks, where have you come from, right? Now, God's power must be trustworthy. God's power must be great. If he's going to take this man that has no qualifications to become a mighty nation and transform him into a nation that would change the world. God, certainly you could pick somebody with multiple wives and already a slew of children, and that would be good, right? I know a lot of you think that I'm lying when I tell a story about myself up here. I really have had a crazy experience in life. But some of you don't know this, but when I was in middle school, when I was in elementary school, being in front of people scared me to death. Oh man, it scared me. And I loved to sing, and so I was in choirs in elementary school. And sure enough, man, in the choir room, I could just sing and bust it out. And then the teacher would say, Jonathan, you've earned this solo. And he would put me in front of everybody, and I would develop this vibrato that went like five notes, because I was so nervous. And my parents would sit out there in the middle, and they were like, Jonathan, we could see you shaking. You know, we were embarrassed to be your mother and father at that time. And you know this so well. Why didn't you sing it? Because I was terrified. Look at all the people that were staring at me. And how ironic it is that the Lord would say, Jonathan, I want you to stand before my people, and I want you to tell them how much I love them. Bring them to my throne. Because I can't stand up here one moment and say that I do this in my power. Because I look back to where I came from, and I know that God got a hold of my life when I surrendered to him. And he transformed something that I didn't think could be transformed. Certainly, God's power is trustworthy. Certainly, God's power is great. Why does he do this, guys? So he can receive the glory. Now, I want you to know this. Some of you that are sitting out there today, you're sitting still in your fear, like I said in middle school. Some of you out there today, you're sitting in your sin still. And you're crying out and saying, well, I want peace, but I don't know how to get it. And when I ask this question, where have you come from? In all honesty, when you're sitting there in your sin and in your fear, here should be your answer. I haven't come from anywhere. Because you've never left what God wants us to leave behind to branch out and walk toward the voice of the Lord that's calling you in a new direction. How can you have peace when you've never left Ur of the Chaldeans? How can you have the promises of God when you've never stepped out in faith? Now, some of you in this room, you've been called. Some of you have followed the voice of the Lord. And still you don't have peace. Because you've allowed yourself to be deceived by sin. To jump into its clutches once again. Till the message of peace and hope in your heart has nearly been extinguished. Well, what an opportunity for us this morning to surrender to the Lord, to give our lives to him. Where have you come from? Let's look in verse 3. For the Lord comforts Zion. That's God's pet name, his nickname for Jerusalem, for those that he loves. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. So at this time when Isaiah is writing this, there are places of waste and wilderness in the Israelite countryside, right? Those places that you don't want to go because jackals are roaming there. Those places where you're afraid that a lion is going to attack you. Those places that bring angst and steal the peace in your life. Well, we know what those places are in our own life, right? Those places of wilderness and wasteland. For some of you, that's your wife and your husband. Do you see them every morning when you wake up and peace runs out of your heart? Some of you, that's your children. Feel like I'm fed up to hear. Some of you, that's your teacher at school, your job. We know what the wasteland is like, don't we? But it's curious in this sentence that is this present tense or is it future? See, it says that the Lord comforts Zion. That's very present. So he is comforting right now. He is making like a garden right now. But there will be joy, right? And that's even future tense. So God is at work comforting, doing things, and joy is ours in the future. I wonder this, what areas of your life do you see as wasteland? Because God sees it as a garden. He sees it as a garden. Here's my question for you. Now, what's your future? What's your future? Because as long as you see wasteland around you, and as long as you see wilderness around you, that's not faith. That's not seeing things through God's eyes. That's not the faith that says, I know God can make this wasteland into a garden anytime that he wants. Now, I love buckets of water. And I got this bucket of water here for you this morning. It's really great. I mean, with a bucket of water, you can do, I don't want to slosh it on me. That almost happened in the first service. So with a bucket of water, you know, you can wash your car, obviously. You can splash people. You can play endless children's games and backyard Bible games, right? Now, can you imagine God as this teeming water, right? And us wanting to be immersed in him. What does it take? No matter how small we are, no matter how great God is, no matter how rough our circumstances is, can you imagine just immersing yourself deeply and deeper into the water of the Lord, into the joy of the Lord, and coming out clean and fresh and filled to the brim with the Lord in you so that you can find somebody else that needs peace, somebody else that needs joy, and they can be filled, right? So, I don't know if some of y'all are getting it, right? I mean, maybe with this bucket, we just need to find ourselves immersed more and more with more and more life. Maybe that's what it's going to take, and I'm sorry for you guys here in this middle section, but let's just find, right? Sorry, guys. Y'all looked like y'all were good people, and I knew that I could trust you, right? You thought that the analogy was about immersion. I already told you I like acting like things are heavy that are not really heavy. You should have just believed me, right? Because how many times do we see with our eyes and we think that we know, well, I thought that he just drew water out of that, but I just had a cup of water sitting in the bottom. I needed a towel so it would be scary when it comes out, okay? We see things so with our eyes. God sees differently than we do. How many times are we observing something? We just take it for granted that this is what's happening and this is what's going on. But God sees something differently. Church, if you see wasteland, what does God see? He sees a garden. He sees a hotbed for his spirit to get a hold of that area that is causing you pain and causing you death and transform it by his glory, not so that we can be great, but so that God can receive the glory in all things. Man, that's where we want to come from, right? That's what our future holds. If we can start to see through his eyes, not be deceived by what the world says is something when it actually is not. What does your future hold? What a great question to ask. I love how the psalmist writes this. He says in Psalm 30, verse 11, he says, God has turned my mourning into dancing. Well, that's somebody who sees through God's eyes. He's lifted my sorrows up. Praise the Lord. See, that peace is found in trusting God with your present and trusting God that he holds your future. He continues in verse 4. Isaiah says, "Give attention to me, my people. Give attention. Give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and my arm they will wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed." Isn't that beautiful? It is beautiful, right? I'm not the only one, right? Praise the Lord, right? I'm so reminded of Jesus' words in Matthew 24, verse 35. When I read that, he says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." What an incredible message. You know, the church that I served before coming to Kyle was in Rockport. And I remember preaching in Rockport, always sitting right over here. Almost right where Bubba is sitting. There was a man that would have his arms crossed just like this when I would preach. And even when I would make a point, he would kind of shake his head no. And he just had this scowl on his face all the time. And it was so intimidating to me and so rough to me that I just learned when I preached that I would even stand just kind of like this. And man, this side of the auditorium just got it, you know, time and time again, because he just had this scowl on his face. And I even prayed to the Lord about it, like, "God, give me strength when I preach to face this guy that's going to be out there." And then the time comes for the Lord that he called us up here to Kyle, right? Praise the Lord. And that's, praise the Lord, right? That's where you respond. And okay, praise the Lord. And he called us to Kyle. We were following the Lord's will and coming up here. And this guy was in like a receiving line for me to, and I saw him, you know, coming to say bye. And I was like, "Oh man, here he comes." And he came and we had tears in his eyes, and he just gave me this bear hug. He says, "Jonathan, I can't tell you how many times that you've said something that it's just penetrated my heart and really changed my life." I said, "Really?" No, I said, "Thank you very much. That was the Holy Spirit speaking." But I wanted to say, "Are you kidding me?" Do you realize that the message that you portrayed to me this whole time was one of death to Jonathan? And I was scared in your presence because I didn't know any better, right? I want you to ask this question. When we talk about inner peace, I want you to ask yourself, what message do you spread? And do you even know what message you spread, right? What message do you spread? Because this paragraph here, verses 4-6, this is about God's people. Now, that's who we are. We're the people of the Lord. We are here today because the Holy Spirit is beckoning you to himself. Here's what he says in this paragraph about God's people. The law will go out from God's people. It's another way to say the holiness of God is going to be coming forth. He says justice will be like light. Another word for that is righteousness. That goes forth from who we are. He says salvation is going to go out from God's people. He says that God's people will hope in the Lord. Right, that people are supposed to see us and see a hope that is in us that's in nowhere else. That people are supposed to see us and see, wow, that's a people that are waiting on the Lord. They're supposed to see us and say, they lift up their eyes to the heavens. That place is awesome. They're doing something that the world doesn't do. Now, I love you note takers, right? Because you're down trying to write that down right there. But these are things that happen with God's people. It's not a checklist. You don't write them down and be like, okay, today, lift up my eyes to the heavens. Got it. I'm God's people. Today, salvation got to go forth. I'm going to tell my son, God's salvation better be in his life. And then got it. Checklist. These are things that happen based on who you are. Are you God's? Do you belong to Jesus Christ? Man, everything has a message about it. That's why I could trick you with this bucket, because this bucket says it holds liquid, right? That's what we know is the message of the bucket. The cups, they say the same thing. We see this stool and we know from life and experiences that, oh, this is something that you sit on. It has legs and it's going to hold me. And it proclaims this message. We see a tree that has apples on it. We say, that's an apple tree. Well, how do you know? It has apples on it, dummy, right? Because they all proclaim a message of who they are. Church, hear this. Your life, your message that comes forth, it testifies about who you are right here inside your heart all the time. The testimony never stops. Do you realize if these things, the holiness of God, I'm just going to get up in your grill here for a second, all right? The holiness of God, the righteousness of God, His light coming forth, His hope coming forth, waiting on Him. Do you realize if these things are not a part of your life, there's only two options that I see as a reason why. Here's one. Hold on. You might not be a Christian. 90% of you that would say, I don't see those things in my life, here's what I think is the problem. You're not a Christian. You could have been coming to this place for 6.5 years that I've been in front of you and still not be a Christian. You might have walked down an aisle of a church when you were a child at Vacation Bible School and said a prayer and repeated it after somebody and not be a Christian. If these things don't spew forth from your life, there's a reason that they're not doing that, because they're not in your life. And hold on to this, church. You see, those of you that would say, is this me, that are questioning that right now? See, being a Christian is about surrender to the Lord. It's about coming to the Lordship of Christ and saying, I know, God, that you are Lord and I am not. And I surrender myself. It's not some mantra. It's not some saying that you repeat. It's not some checklist that you do. God, I need you. Be Lord of my life. I can't do this without you. I have to have you in my heart, and it's that surrender. It's not some thing that we say, God, this is what I want you to look like. No, it's God, I want you to make me look like you. And then we follow Christ in baptism. Do you know why we do that? Because your baptism is your funeral service. That's why we do it. Jonathan, congratulations, you are dying, and you're buried with Christ, and you no longer live. When you come up, Christ lives in you, your hope of glory. Guys, if these things don't come forth from you, there's a reason. Don't leave this place without surrendering your life to Christ. I said there were two reasons, right? That first one is probably 90 to 95% in my head, the reason those things don't come forth. Here's the second one. Possibly, it's a slim margin. Possibly, you could be a Christian and you've surrendered to sin for so long instead of the Lord that His light is barely visible in your life anymore. You know what you need to do? Surrender. God has the ability, David says it in Psalm 51, to restore the joy of your salvation in your life. See, some of you are sitting here and you're saying, I don't know why peace doesn't come from me, because the message that's coming from your heart is one that peace doesn't reside within you. Do you know what's scary to me? The message that the church has given the world is that we're the same as the rest of the world. Every Barna study group, every poll that polls Christians and non-Christians alike, it says that we don't love our wives just like the rest of the world, that we cuss just like the rest of the world, that everything that we do, everything that we watch, every action of our life is just like the rest of the world. I want to say, are you kidding me? Like the world? We're the ones that are supposed to be spewing forth hope to the world and light to the world. They're supposed to walk in these doors. They're supposed to open up the doors to our house and see difference is here. Because the Holy Spirit, because God transforming our lives from this world. Man, I just want to stop us here for a second. I hope you don't mind. Let's just cry out to God right where we are. Can you just bow with me? Guys, if you don't know this light in your life, today is the day to know it, to surrender to Christ. I'm not going to have you repeat something after me. Surrender to Him in your heart. Give Him your life. God, we can't do this without you. We look at the message coming forth from our lives and we're not satisfied because peace is not residing within us. God, may you start something brand new in my heart. In the wasteland of my heart, may you spring forth a garden. In Jesus' name. Church, listen to me. If you're surrendering to Christ for the first time today, then on that communication sheet on your bulletin, I want you to say that. I want you to put it in that box when we go our separate ways. Because you got to surround yourself with people that can disciple you and raise you up in the hope and the love of Jesus Christ. We want to contact you because we want you to grow in the Lord. Let's keep going. Look in verse 7. Isaiah says, listen to me, you who know righteousness, right? That's us. You who know righteousness, listen to me. The people in whose heart is my law, fear not the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revilings. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them up like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation to all generations. Isn't it amazing what he says about mankind right here? They're going to be eaten up like a moth eats a garment. Here's my last question for you this morning. Who is your God? Well, Jonathan, I already answered all the other three questions. So obviously, Jesus has to be my God. Now, who is your God on a day-to-day basis? See, a lot of you that are struggling about salvation, and even just now you're wondering, do I think I need to surrender my life to the Lord, but what is my husband going to think? Or what is my church going to think? Because I've been coming here for 5 years, and what's going to happen, right? So why are you thinking about what man thinks about you? I got news for you. Man, woman, you're not God. Jesus Christ is Lord and God is still on his throne. God is God alone. Who cares what man thinks? That's why I ask you, who is your God? Because some of us walk through this world paralyzed at the fear of man. Oh, is that man your God? Or is Jesus Christ Lord of your life? How many of us have been in front of somebody and we know God is quickening me to tell them about Jesus because they need Jesus and they're lost and they need this hope that I know that I have and that they don't. And so we open up our mouths and we talk about the weather, right? And we talk about the Cowboys. And we're crippled by that fear of man. But when I open up that door to that conversation and I know, God, you are Lord of my life, and I don't care if this person disowns me, I'm already dead. And it's you, Jesus, who live in me. So let me proclaim your hope and your joy. Who is your God? I love how Isaiah wraps this up in verses 15 and 16. He says, I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. Oh, what a beautiful song earlier. Even when the waves roar, he keeps our head above the waters. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I've put my words in your mouth and covered you in the shadow of my hand, establishing the heavens and laying the foundations of the earth and saying to Zion, you are my people. Saying to those who he loves, whom he's called by his name, you are my people. So that church, when we say, who is my God? And we know the answer to these questions. Where have I come from? What message is coming forth from me? What is my future hold? That we can say with the words of Paul, Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's a power of God to salvation. Oh, that the Lord would give us that life, that he would give us that inner peace. Father, how we love you. We worship you. We cry out to you this morning in the name of Jesus, needing peace, Lord Jesus. So we know, God, that that's found in our surrender to you. Lord, I ask that with these four questions this morning, that we would give an honest assessment to each one of them this week. That we would know, Lord, whether we are truly yours and you are ours. God, we want to be your people. I want to be your man. Lord, I know women would stand up and say, I want to be your woman in this room. May we follow your voice when you call us. May we live our lives for you in inner peace, Lord. Not what our eyes see, but in the peace that you give our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.